A friend of mine told me a story about when he was a young minister. He was new in town and also in his church, and he was startled as he began to overhear a conversation between some of the members of the church. They were talking about another family. "Have you ever had trouble with the Millers?" "Oh, yes. They come in and it seems like they will never leave. You can't get rid of them." "I know. We've had the same trouble too. Whatever you try, they just won't go away." "You don't see them as much when it gets hot." My friend was a little confused and quite concerned, and he asked if the Millers were just members of the community or if they were members of the church. "Oh no," they said, "we're not talking about the Millers a family. We're talking about Millers like moths." He was so worried for a time that this was the way church members treated one another. Another story. The residents at Martin's Care Home have experienced a huge boost in health and energy in the last year. The nurses report that they have had fewer falls, fewer calls to doctors, better quality of sleep for the residents, reduction in the medications prescribed, and a generally more upbeat feeling around the nursing home. What brought about these drastic changes in this nursing home? Water. Last summer, the staff started a water club for their residents. They encouraged them to drink more water. They instilled water coolers. They put water jugs in each room. They encouraged the residents to drink water at least, of course, 8 glasses a day. A small gift of hospitality made a real difference. In today's text, Jesus explains to the disciples the rewards of welcoming others, the call of hospitality. So I'll be reading Matthew 10, verses 40 to 43. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." A cup of cold water in Jesus' day would have been a rare treat. Early in the morning, the women went down to the village well to draw water for the day. Coming from the bottom of this deep well, the water was clear and cool. But just a moment in the hot Palestinian sun would have melted even a block of ice. So by dinner time, if someone was your guest in your home, you might offer them water that you had gotten that morning at the well. But to think about serving them cold water, well, this is what would be required. After they came to your home, you would have to leave. You would have to run into town to the well, dip into the well, the deepest part of the well, for the cool water after a long, hot, sunny day. Then race back, holding the water in your hand before it got warm. Now, anyone who's run with water knows this is not an easy feat. So in Jesus' time, offering a cool cup of water would have been a rare and welcome treat, an extravagant hospitality. But Jesus went even further than this cold cup of water idea. He said, whoever gives a cup of cool water to one of these little ones will receive a reward. Now, in Jesus' day, the little ones would have included children, it's true, but it would have also included other people in their society, the people who had little standing in society, the unappreciated, the ill, the poor, prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors, you get the idea. Offer that cool, crisp, thirst-quenching glass of water, Jesus says, especially to the little ones of society. This is going way beyond being nice to a guest. This is holy hospitality. You know, hospitality is an oddly old-fashioned word. It's rather genteel, almost archaic. But I believe it's very relevant to where we are now, as a church, as a nation, even as a species. It's a fragile art, this hospitality. It's worth teaching to the next generations, and it's very hard to practice. Just look at your news about what's happening in Washington, D.C. The root word of hospitality, hosp, means both guest and host. There's no distinction between the two. The host treats the guest as he or she wants to be treated. Daniel Homan, in his book Radical Hospitality, says this: hospitality has an inescapable moral dimension to it. It is not a mere social grace. It is a spiritual and ethical issue. It's an issue involving what it means to be human. All of our talk about hospitality doesn't mean anything as long as some people continue to be tossed aside. A story in the New Yorker magazine described just this sort of radical hospitality that Jesus suggests and Homan talks about. The Church of the Holy Apostles in New York City serves the largest soup kitchen in the city. And in 1982, members of a very small and dying congregation felt the need of the homeless people in their area so great that they decided to start a soup kitchen in their meager fellowship hall. They had no idea who would show up, but on that first day, some 30 years ago, 35 guests came through the line, and they haven't stopped. Today, the soup kitchen serves more than 1,100 meals every day. Now, these guests don't fit in the fellowship hall. So after a fire destroyed their sanctuary, they decided to restore their sanctuary without pews, so that every weekday now, under the vaulted, beautiful arches of an old building downtown, 1,100 homeless people eat a meal that for many will be their only meal of the day. Perhaps it's not surprising that a church would use its building in this way. After all, churches are supposed to be the hubs of mission, the center of holy hospitality. But the question for churches today is not, are we showing hospitality? The real question is, how can we practice hospitality even more? Our hygiene pantry is amazing. If you haven't been there, I would encourage you to sign up in Fellowship Hall and go just to experience it, either the first or third Saturday of the month. We don't ask for income. We don't ask for a lot of information. We offer a cup of cold laundry detergent, a cup of cold shampoo, soap, razors, diapers, things that the people need. and we're always looking for ways to expand. But how can we offer hospitality in this place to the people who walk in our doors whom we do not know? One of the oldest stories in the Bible tells of Abraham, that great father of religion. He was sitting outside under the shade of a tree, and from a distance he spots three strangers who are walking. He doesn't wait for them to get closer to see if he recognizes them. Instead, he runs out to greet them and brings them back into his home. He has his best calf slaughtered for them, an oven full of homemade bread made in their honor. He sits down and eats with them. Now, in desert time of Abraham, to act in this manner truly meant the difference for some people between life and death. Think about it. People walking through the heat of the day in the wilderness without the benefit of cold ice packs that they put food and water in, lack of roads and directions, they were often walking to their deaths. But Abraham's hospitality meant that he literally saved their lives. We may not quickly realize that Abraham's hospitality, though, had kind of a cutting edge to it. He took a real chance in running out to meet those people he didn't know in the desert. What if they were robbers, cattle rustlers, no-gooders, just looking for an opportunity to steal or kill? What if these were men on the run or wanderers without morals? But Abraham went out of his way to make them feel at home, regardless of the personal cost. Immediately following Abraham's story is another parallel story about strangers who go into two other towns, Sodom and Gomorrah. But this time, the guests to the town were not treated well. There was no hospitality available to them. And while some people would say that the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, those cities, because of sexual perversion, theologians say that these two stories are parallel and that the difference between the Abraham story and the Sodom and Gomorrah story is about hospitality, not about sexual perversion. And so the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was lack of hospitality, and for that, they were destroyed. True Christian hospitality doesn't just happen at our house or a care home, nor does it extend only to our church building. Holy hospitality encompasses all of our lives. Hospitable driving. Hospitable coworker, hospitality towards strangers, hospitality, and this sometimes cuts very deep, toward the silly neighbors that you've known for years, hospitality to all of God's creation. You know, we have extraordinarily friendly people here, but we need to go a step farther. This morning, Jerry Harney asked if there was a shovel. I thought, why do we need a shovel? The lot has been cleared mostly. You know why? Goose poop. It was on the sidewalks in plenty, and he knew it was not very hospitable to welcome friends to a church with goose poop on the sidewalk. And so he took the shovel out and he shoveled it away. That is radical hospitality. I'd like each one of us to take a moment to consider just one act of hospitality that you could demonstrate, something you haven't done before in your everyday lives or here at church, at work, wherever you spend your time. Now, as far as the church goes, I'm looking for one or two people to come into the church office on Monday morning to follow up with our guests. We send a letter to our first-time visitors if they leave a name and an address. But that's about all we do other than welcome them on Sunday morning. What about a guest who's come three or four times? Shouldn't they receive some sort of hospitality from the church? If you're interested in offering this particular hospitality, I hope you'll talk with me. But other than that, I want to take a moment for you to think about your everyday walk around life and how you might offer hospitality to a neighbor, a coworker, an acquaintance, perhaps even your spouse. Take a moment. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." An angel is a being who brings a blessing. And when we open our homes, our hearts, our churches, when we offer that to others, and we make our homes their homes, I believe that we find ourselves unexpectedly blessed by the presence of God in these others. Let us offer a cup of hospitality this week. And if you have a story to share with me about your hospitality, I'd encourage you to share it. I'd love to hear what you've done this week. Let us stand as you're able and sing together. Let there be peace on earth. And now go forth from this place with peace in your heart that you might offer something holy to another this week. Amen.